Yes, today is my birthday, and it doesn't happen very often that my birthday is on a Sunday. So I'm going to ask you to humor me. Now, the first one was letting me pass out candy. If you want to try to spiritualize that, there is nothing sweeter than Jesus. Seriously. And I don't see why we can't celebrate him with a little bit of candy once in a while. The next way you're going to honor me or humor me is by letting me share a couple of thoughts that I've had lately. And this is going to be a little different style of sermon for me than I usually do. And it's why we're not starting Revelation again until week after next. Okay, week after next, we'll start back on Revelation. Next week, as I mentioned before, is Bob and Brenda Bagley being here. And that's by the way, that's going to be wonderful. I mean, they are incredible people and just incredible stories, like all the missionaries that I have ever met. But especially when you consider this guy is in charge of Africa for the Wesleyans. I mean, that's just a lot of responsibility. And he's a man who is up to it. I mean, God has really gifted him, and God uses him in great ways. It'll be a wonderful experience to hear them share next week. But as I've approached this birthday, I don't want to be macabre about this, but you know, it came to mind that my father died when he was 67, and you know, that's more than 15 years ago. And if I die when at his age, I only have 15 years left. It's okay. I'm not trying to say I think I'm going to die at 67, okay? But if I think about it, then if I could ask anything of God for these next 15 years, what would I ask? Actually, I've put a lot of thought into that. If I could ask anything of God for the rest of my life, what would I ask him for? That does remind me of a story of three men who were talking about their funerals, and you know, it's just a, you know, what would you want people to say about you at your funeral? You know, and the one guy says, you know, I'd really like to be known as a humanitarian. I mean, this guy really just loved people. He helped people. The next guy said, I'd like him to talk about what a great father I was and what a great husband, that I was really good for my family. And the third guy said, well, I just wanted to say, look, he's moving. Anyway, okay. The candy was to buy you off so that you know, I kind of make up for that. It didn't work. And you're one of them that got candy. Man, oh, man. Okay. What's that? Tough crowd. But I really have thought about this a lot. And not the thing about dying, but what, if I'm going to ask God of anything of God, what would I ask for the rest of my life? You know, I could ask for a lot of different things. You know, Billy Joe's health, right? That easily comes to mind. Recognition. You know, it's nice to be recognized. Or maybe just opportunities to relax, opportunities to rest. Maybe money, right? You know, enough money to visit the kids regularly, visit our grandson, visit any other grandchildren that might come along. Seriously, enough money to pay the roof loan off and pave that big pothole that we call a parking lot, you know? What might I ask for? Well, if I'm really going to ask God for something, it seems to me none of those are big enough. They're not. It's like being awarded a free meal at Beef and Barrel. You're walking into the Beef and Barrel with a coupon. Anything you want to eat is free. Sitting down and saying, you know, I'd really like a couple of moldy croutons for lunch. That's what all this stuff looks like when I think of what I might ask of God. How can I ask for things that are only for this life? How can I ask for things that are temporary when eternity is out there ahead of us? I'm serious about that. I mean, it really set me back as I thought about that stuff. So I have a list of four things, and these are actually four. It's not just one, it's four things that I really am asking God for today. The first one is to finish my life strong, still chasing God. To finish strong. Colossians 2, 6 and 7 says, "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." That's a great charge. A great thing to live for. I want to finish life still running the race. I may be old enough that the run looks more like just a little bit of a hobble, but kind of a Tim Conway thing back from that old television show. You know, some of you are old enough to remember that. Carbonette. Tim Conway or Carbonette, and he would even trip over things like dirt on the floor and all that stuff. But to still be reaching out for Christ, to still be living for Him, to still be chasing God. Philippians 3:10-12 says, "I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." Pressing on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Jesus has grabbed us. He's grabbed me and you. He's holding us in the palm of His hands, and it's for abundant life that He has grabbed a hold of us. He's grabbed a hold of us to give us love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I want to keep pressing on to grasp that. There are many distractions, right? Many things try to pull me away. I imagine you can think the same. I mean, there's just all that life stuff gets in the way, right? And I'm easily tempted by desires to go do other things. But I really want to finish the race strong. I like the idea of being poured out for Jesus' glory and honor. I don't know that anything else really matters. So to finish my life strong, the next one would be to see people fully surrendered to God. See people sold out. Many Christians add Christ as one more task in a busy life. Many Christians hold Jesus like one more trophy that is set up on the mantelpiece, surrounded by many other trophies that represent many other things in their lives, many other interests, many other endeavors, and He's just one of many, an equal among many. Many of us follow Christ whenever it's convenient, whenever it helps us get our own desires. But that's not the way. That's not the way that Christ talks about. 1 Timothy 6:11 and 12 says, "But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses." I want to see us pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, and love with passion, Our culture doesn't like zealous Christians. We don't really like people who are zealous about much of anything. Our culture increasingly wants us to keep our faith in the closet. They don't want Christ. They don't want us to share. But our culture's wrong. Again, that Philippians 3, 10 to 12. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. I will readily admit, I like the idea of sharing in resurrection power. I like the idea of new life. Fullness coming out of emptiness. Resurrection power, like being able to heal. I don't like the idea of sharing in Christ's suffering. I don't like the idea of becoming like him in his death. I mean, that. Can I have the power without the other part? But I have to tell you, you don't get one without the other. You don't get the resurrection power without the death first. If you want the resurrection, you have to die first. To be born again in the Spirit, you have to let your worldly self die. So we need to wipe the other stuff off the mantle. There are places for those things, but not next to Christ. He has to be above everything else. And in day-to-day life, that is so hard to order. When so many things cry for our attention, it's so easy just to set Christ aside. We need true, radical revival. Being willing to be zealous. And I'm asking God for that. The third one is to see people healed. See people healed spiritually, relationally, emotionally, physically. See people set free. Jesus has come to give us life to the full. A spiritual vitality and a fulfillment that is the experience of God. Now, I want to put a caveat to this whole list. I put physical healing at the end, and often we think of physical healing first. I mean, you know, prayer requests are often for physical things. I think Billy Joe would say the same thing. My experience of walking with Billy Joe through her struggles. And God has not yet healed her from that. She's doing better, but he hasn't healed her from it. He has brought us great spiritual, relational, and emotional healing through the physical struggle. I think one of the things God has decided to do is set us free spiritually, relationally, and emotionally. And to do that, Billy Joe has had to suffer. Now, I would never ask for Billy Joe to go through what she's gone through. I don't think she would ever ask to go through what she has gone through. But I would also not want to miss the healings we've seen. Too many of us have no remembrance of the joy of our salvation. I mean, it just doesn't mean anything to us to be saved anymore. Yeah, whatever. And we're trapped in lies. Lies about ourselves, lies about others, lies about God. I mean, one of the big ones we've talked about pretty often, and that is that you're just a lousy person, and I'm a lousy person. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We are presented before God without accusation. And I would love for God to set us free so we can actually walk in that. I mean, imagine being able to walk through life recognizing that there's no condemnation for you in Christ. Yeah. Every time it comes up, anytime somebody wants to throw some of that at you, anytime Satan wants to throw that at you, speak to the hand, because it's not coming any farther. I don't buy it. Jesus paid the price for that. And I'm okay now in Christ. I think we have to be fully surrendered, by the way, to get there. I think that's part of the dying and being surrendered, is that's what brings this. 2 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. In Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. You have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. The fullness of God is in Christ. Okay, God's power, God's majesty, his wisdom, his glory, his love, his mercy, his knowledge. I mean, name and attribute of God. The fullness of God resides in Christ. He lacks nothing. He is over every power, every authority in heaven and on earth. And he says, there's no accusation. I'm asking that the Holy Spirit will really set us free in Christ Jesus. And the fourth one is to see people come to Christ, see people saved. This isn't just about us. There are many Christians in the world. There are many Christians in our area. But there are many who are not. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, there is one God and one mediator between God and humanity, the man Jesus Christ. There is one God, and there is one who can bring us to him, and that's Jesus. It's a very exclusive statement. There is one way to get to God and eternal life with him. There is one way to get rid of the accusation. There's one way to get rid of the shame, one way to get rid of the condemnation, and that's in Christ. There is no other way. It doesn't matter what other people think. It doesn't matter what other philosophies want to try to tell us. It's not enough to just be kind and peaceable and make people think highly of you. It's not enough to just believe strongly whatever it is you want to believe. All paths do not lead to God. All paths don't lead to heaven. There's one path. It is straight and it is narrow. And its name is Jesus Christ. There is no other. The book of Jude says, but you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. That's something we struggle with. Snatch others from the fire and save them. That's something we tend to avoid. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. One of the best ways that we can honor Christ, we can serve him, is to be his witnesses on earth. We need to run the good race. We need to take hold of this salvation. And we need to snatch others from the fire. Living life as if Christ matters. We need to pray for those around us. Pray for God to work in their lives. I mean, I have a list of specific people I pray for God to touch them, And then we need to pray for ways to reach out and share Christ with them. I do that too. Lord, present opportunities that I can talk to them. Some time ago, one of them came up to me and asked me a question that, you know, that was God-related. It's a lot easier to change the conversation to God when they ask you. And we need to watch and take advantage of the opportunities that God gives us to share. All four of these, we need anointing. I mean, if I'm going to do any of these, I need an anointing from God. If we are going to do any of these, if we're going to be any of these, we need an anointing. We don't do this on our own. It's not going to happen in my own strength. It's not going to happen in our own strength. I consider myself to be a reasonably strong person. I consider myself to be reasonably gifted and talented. I mean, looking around all of you, you are strong, gifted, talented people. But we can't do this. We can't make that list happen. An anointing is God's seal. It's God's blessing and protection and empowerment to do His work. You know, we talk about Jesus being the Messiah or Christ, right? The word Messiah or Christ means the Anointed One. Jesus was and He is God's anointed. He's the one who is empowered and protected and blessed to bring God's will to pass in heaven and on earth. He has all the power, all the authority over everything. I mean, everything. Nothing exists outside of His power and authority. And we need Him to use us. We need that power and authority flowing in our lives. Today, I'm asking God to anoint and use me for these four purposes. And what that means is I am not going to ask for any peace or any comfort, any money, any recognition. I'm not even going to ask for Billy Joe's health. I'm asking God specifically for anointing to finish strong, to see people sold out for Christ, to see people set free, and to see people saved. I have two questions for you. What would you ask for? Now, you're not going to answer that question in 2 or 3 seconds, I bet. But really, what would you ask for? The other question would be, would you join in asking me, would you join in asking for what I'm asking for? Would you join in asking for these four things for your life? The strength to finish strong, to run the race to the end, to see people sold out, to see people set free, and to see people saved.